Good afternoon, everyone. This is the time and place of the Public Art and Community Design Committee's Education Subcommittee. It is August 10th, 1:05 p.m. I will go ahead and do a roll call to establish quorum. Adrienne Ackerman,
Here.
Leanne Hernandez, Brandon Varela,
Here.
Adia Jamil. Just joined. I'll come back to her. Dusty Reyes.
Present.
Audrey Wehner. Logan Green. And Adia Jamil.
Present.
Thank you. And we do have a quorum.
Great.
And let the record show that Logan Green has just joined the meeting as well. He's about to log in. I'll just go ahead and do roll call for him. Logan, we just did roll call. I'm going to call your name so you could give a verbal indication that you're here. Logan Green.
Present.
Thank you. So we have a quorum with 5 members present. Moving on to item two, call to the audience. This is the time when any member of the public may address the Public Art and Community Design Committee members. Due to time constraints, the total time allocated for this is 15 minutes. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes each. At the conclusion to the call to the audience, members of the public body may respond to a personal criticism made by those who have addressed the public body, may ask staff to review a matter, or may ask that a matter be put on a future agenda. Please note that personal criticisms do not include criticisms of a policy, project, proposal, etc. Members of the public body shall not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during an open call to the public unless the matters are properly noticed for discussion and legal action. And, you know what? We actually did get a person who signed up to speak at the call to the audience. I don't see that they are here, but I can go ahead and read their comment that they wrote out, if the chair will accept that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exciting. I think it's our first visitor.
Yeah, and a new one too. Mark Sawyer signed up to speak, and I'll just read the comments that he put in the form. He's a member of the Western Photographic Historical Society, and he says that the Western Photographic Historical Society is a 501c3 nonprofit educational group that has been active in Tucson for some 50 years. We have staged and supported educational activities at the University of Arizona, Pima College, and various local high schools. We are looking to find a permanent home for ourselves and other local photography organizations to hold meetings, events, exhibitions, classes, etc. We would like to include a community darkroom facility, including digital film and alternative process resources. And that is what he wrote. Now I'm looking at some of the other questions. He may have meant for this to be at the regular PACDC meeting. So those are his comments. And so maybe they were for this one, but maybe for Wednesday's meeting. So with that, I will open up the floor to any comments from subcommittee members.
Are his questions separate from the comment or?
It was just, yeah, that's what he wrote in the comment, what I read.
Okay.
So.
Well, is there a way for us to reach back out to him and find out if he meant them for like the bigger meeting or?
Yeah, I can reach out to him and let him know that our upcoming meeting is Wednesday, so. We'll see if he is able to attend.
Okay. And in the meantime, if anybody, does anybody have any thoughts on a space for this group or, yeah, anything coming to mind?
Yeah,
I often think about like photo and darkroom here at Groundworks, but it's just we just don't have the physical space or ability to change our space to kind of do it.
Yeah, it takes up some dedicated space. Is that something that ZeroCraft already has, Dusty? I don't remember that from the tour the other day.
No, we do not. Could be something I could bring up to the board for that new space downstairs.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll
Well,
be.
hopefully. Oh, sorry.
I was going to say I'll be at the meeting on Wednesday as well. So if he shows up with more commentary, then we'll get more information. And if that works out, maybe we'll align.
Okay, great. And maybe there will be more ideas from folks at that meeting too.
All right. If there are no more comments, I'll move on to item three, 2026 public art plan. This is a discussion on recommendations for topics for projects to add to the 2026 public art plan that will be reviewed and approved by the PAC DC members. I think I meant to put you down for this item, Adrienne, as the presenter, but I can lead the discussion if you'd like.
No, I think it's fine. I'm happy to. I want to begin with a sincere apology to all of my colleagues because my life has just been wild in the last few weeks, and I have not had the opportunity to flesh out the portion that I committed to, in the ways that I had hoped for this meeting. And sincere apologies, Sadie. I know that you moved a lot of stuff around to make sure that we could have this meeting today because we wanted to have this working meeting with all the components before next week's meeting. And so I feel doubly bad about being a bit unprepared today with my portion. But I think Logan is the only other person that signed up for a section. And so Logan, yeah, checking in if you had a chance to flesh out any of the ideas that you tackled.
I mean, admittedly, minimally, but I do kind of, want to use this time with other people here around like maybe some specifics that I don't feel that I should be the person to decide. But broadly, I've started to kind of type up some like more like bullet points of like what the goal is of trying to diversify things like beyond the representation of and background of artists, actually also the art itself, so that there's a wider diversity in subject matter and things like that. And so I started to type up just a little bit of kind of notes about that. But I do want to kind of see like my opinion may not be others' opinions on some of this. So wanted to kind of flesh some of that out, maybe brainstorm with some folks here around, what you all think in terms of the if you feel that there's a lack of diversity in subject matter and the public art around Tucson. And it's hard sometimes to know without being on the committee for a long time or being really involved in the public art world what is public art around Tucson and what is just private art or some other like visible art around Tucson. But like for me, I see a lot of desert landscapes, desert creatures, which is really fun and cool. And then I don't see a lot of anything else. And so that's kind of like something that I would love to include in any kind of like future movement or like future changes or recommendations we can make of like, can we develop the specifics around maybe how we can maybe diversify that art without creating censorship, without creating like, oh, well, we're only taking this m many javelinas. And then, like that kind of thing. So yeah, trying to find that balance is pretty tricky. And so for me, I like broadly think that we should put an emphasis on diverse subject matter for murals and public art. And then in order to do that, we should add examples and the intent of the initiative in things like the artist roster in the future, things like grant proposals. And so that's kind of broadly like the outline of what I'm thinking so far, but I would love more input. So I think this team and this time is probably a good way to get that input.
Awesome. I'm just realizing I can't remember if everyone who's here now was at the education subcommittee meeting, like the last one where we started to kind of flesh out the ideas of what we wanted to include. Sadie, can you remind me?
I don't think what Dusty, I'm not sure if you were at the last one and
No, I was not. I was on an airplane.
Right.
Logan was here. Audio was here. I have my notes, actually. Let me look.
Then just for context also, Wilwyn is here to present some of the information requested at the last PACDC meeting regarding artists receiving multiple commissions over several years, just whenever you want to receive that information.
Oh, great. Okay, wonderful. Well, let me just check, because I know I was able to, I know that Dusty got to see the notes from the last meeting that you sent out, Sadie, that I had typed up. Brandon and Adia, did you get a chance to review those?
I unfortunately did not. I've been traveling, so I didn't have a chance.
Yeah, no worries.
I did, yes.
Okay, cool. Well, they should be in your email from Sadie. So if you want to take a look at those while we're going through it, it's just basically identifying from our last conversation the elements that we wanted to include in the proposal for the public art plan. So if you see idea that there's like anything missing from that, please feel free to bring it up, like if there's anything you want to see added that's not already on that list. And one of the components is what Logan was just talking about, was this idea of like how might we diversify subject matter for future public art opportunities. But we did have a few questions come up. So Logan, if you don't mind, I'll invite Wilwyn to provide some information around, like, I think we were asking, like, can we see a representation of who's getting what awards and how they're distributed? And that might help inform the conversation that we have on your topic, Logan.
Sounds good.
Cool. Wilwyn, whenever you're ready.
Thanks, Adrian. Yes, correction. To be honest, I'm not sure why I was here. I was here to provide any answer any questions that you may have, so I can do that, but I did not prepare anything. And the number of projects by artists I included in the public art plan for Wednesday. And I also briefly mentioned something about the public art core because there was a question about that. That's for Wednesday as well. But I'm happy to give you guys a sneak preview if you want.
Yeah, I think that would be really helpful. Thank you.
Okay, so do you want to look at the number, like which art, how many artists got commissions in recent years?
Yeah, that was one of our questions was like, what does the distribution actually look like?
Okay, I'll share.
Lots of people have the impression that certain individuals are getting, you know, more commissions than others, and we wanted to just kind of like verify that or
Okay.
find out that it's wrong.
All right, so let me see if I can share this, and I might have to give you some context first, or once I share it. Share. Send request, Sadie. Okay, let me see if I can share just this so you don't see everything else I've got open right now. Okay, you're looking at this thing that says number of project by artists. Great. So I developed this like the day before we left for break. So it hasn't been like bulletproof checked, but it's based off of our public art project tracker, which you see in the top left, and that's how we manage every one of our public art projects. So the numbers are in real time. And what I did was list every artist that was selected by year. So if we go to the top, and I started at 2020 because that's when this current administration of Arts Foundation started, and that's where we have the most accurate data. Before that, we weren't using Airtable. Not really sure what Arts Foundation or TPAC was using before, but we had basically no access to any of those things, so we had to start from scratch. So on for each column shows you, or each row is an artist that was selected at some point between 2020 and 2026. And then I'll show you how many times with the total on the right side. And if we scroll down to the bottom, there's been 43 artists selected for public projects that we've administered since 2020. And that includes City of Tucson, Pima County up until around 2022 or 23. We canceled that contract. And some of our private ones, not private, but not CIP, not like administrative directive driven ones, like the ones that Sadie manages, which is Sela d'Arte, are in here. And I think Poet Laureate's in here too, because I saw that one. So, but to get what you were looking at or interested in is who's getting all the projects. So recently, Penn Matt Macias, who really started applying around 2021, 22, has been getting the bulk with four projects between 2022 and 2024. Joe O'Connell or Creative Machines, as you may know them, has four as well. One recently, they just got that commission. I forgot which project it was. Wait, I think I can do this and hopefully not provide too much information publicly. 22nd Street Community Center. Yeah, so that's most recent one. And then three in 2020, which I think might be the Downtown Links projects. Grant Rose, no, three different ones. So that Peaceful Kingdoms, that big zoo sign you see in front of the zoo. Grant Road, phase 3-4 is that giant red coyote coming out of the ground around Dodge and Grant. And Wet Wheel is that big wheel downtown that shoots water at you. So other than that, there hasn't been that many big changes. You know, all these artists that have number twos, they just got two commissions within a 5 year, 5+ year if you include this year. It's not complete. And then everybody else that's got a commission has just been one time. And I know that one name in particular gets called out a lot, and I think he might be in here, Joe Pagic, who someone see Joe Pagic? Oh, here we go. Yes, so in 2022, he got Grant Road, I believe. Yeah, Grant Road UPPR. It's not even completed yet. They just finished the construction, or they're finishing it up. You might be able to drive through Grant now, as I heard of as of the weekend. So his artwork is going to go on two sides of that embankment on Grant Road entering, or on the east side of the I-10. Every other Joe Pagic artwork you've seen is in the private sector. He's only received one public art commission through the city since 2020. I don't know about before that. He might have, I'm not sure.
There's, and the only outlier is that one donation he did at Himmel Park at the
Right,
port.
but it was a donation where
Right.
those are selected by the applicant.
Correct.
So I can keep this open if you want in chat, or if you want, I can unshare this. And on Wednesday, I'm sharing screenshots because this is still a pretty untested interface, and I don't want to open something and provide sensitive information that's not ready to be public. But the goal is that this interface you're looking at can be publicly accessed at some point, maybe through our website in the future. So I have real-time updates of all the selected artists and what projects they're working on.
I think this is great, Will, and it's going to be so, I mean, it's illuminating for me, and we'll just speak for myself. I'm like, oh, okay, so a lot of the redundancy that folks are concerned about is happening in the private sector through donation. And I think that's going to be really helpful for the public to understand. Yeah, open to other thoughts.
Yeah, I remember one of the things was talking about like a cap or limit per cycle or something like that as a recommendation. It was like a possibility people were throwing around. And so, you know, in practice, it may end up working out about the same as it's like if it was only, you would only be able to get one every 2 years, like on average. That's kind of what's happening at the most extreme of this list, but less likely to happen just in general. That being said, I mean, it still could be like, you know, in theory, next year somebody could get four things or something like that. You know, so it may be like a worthwhile thing to prevent it going to the same people in the future, but it's like the reality of it is it's not happening right now. That being said, like, you know, part of my specific, you know, interest is around the diversity of the art itself. And I remember when I was I was recently on a panel, choosing art, and there were so many that were in this, like, you know, desert theme that it made it harder. It made other things stick out, which was good, but it also just kind of, didn't feel like there was as many options in general, even if there were a lot of artists to choose from. So that's maybe, you know, and it may be that people see some of these artists, and even though they're a lot of different people, the subject matter is similar with a lot of the artists. So they're like, oh, well, that's what gets chosen more than other things. So I'm going to submit art that is more likely to get chosen, and kind of creating a cycle that way.
I think part of it is going to be in the language of the calls. Like, people, whoever's making the call needs to be specific about what they're asking for. And that's, I don't know, obviously I wasn't on that committee and I haven't been on these committees, but I just feel like that's what people are submitting. I know I've seen a lot of calls that are like specifically asking for that type of imagery. So, that's coming up from a different place, I think. It's not, I think the artists are also doing that, but I think it's coming from first step.
Yeah, I'm specifically talking about when we look at the artist roster, that is the one that we and this is my understanding of the process. Like, we have a lot of artists that then can be chosen for a project because they fit that qualification of the project and they're on the roster, but they have examples of their work as
I get
well.
it. I
And yeah,
misunderstood. Sorry.
that's all right. Yeah.
But I think you're both, I mean, I think both things are also true. Like, if we're trying to get at the heart of this issue, we may need to find out from Sadie and Wilwyn, like, what can be done, what could be directly put into the language for the, at least the public art, call to artists. But real quick, any other questions or thoughts on the artist selection themselves or what Wilwyn's presenting on the computer screen? Because I, if there are, we can keep it up, and if not, we can relieve him of sharing his screen. No? Okay. Thank you, Wilwyn. And then I think the other question that we had for you, Wilwyn, was to learn, yeah, more about the core, because we, I think you alluded at the last meeting that there was a lot of overlap with what we're trying to do and what you're trying to create. And so I think having some clarity around that overlap would be helpful for us as a committee to, so we're not duplicating work.
Great. Yeah, there's a lot of similarities, and we found the same things. We've noticed that even some artists have started have shifted or changed some of the things they work on to match other people's, which is, you know, a colorful desert animals and scenery that may or may not include, you know, because a lot of the projects, the public art panel is for specifically from that neighborhood. So history and context of that neighborhood and representation of those community members are always encouraged. But oftentimes behind that will be a desert and agave. So I think just because we live in this region, that keeps getting pulled up, and then artists are shifting to get the bids because the ones that are getting the bids are the ones that are including these desert things. So it's a weird thing that's happening, and to address that is complicated, and we also have a lot of limitations of what we can do, you know, especially when it comes to themes. We can't really control them. The city can. And oftentimes projects will have some theme requirements or specifics, like Ward 4 likes to ask for a theme or put themes in the call. But other than that, we try to keep it open so that the artists and the panels choose the themes. But oftentimes it is desert. Like almost every time. Even as much as we diversify the panel, it still always comes down to flora and fauna. But the Public Art Court, so a little back history, it's a concept that was created by the person who trained me and hired me, Donna. She is from Scottsdale Public Art. She's director of Scottsdale Public Art. And Adriana wanted some sort of education. Adriana, the CEO, wanted some sort of education component. So they were chatting about it. And then when I got brought on, I thought that was really exciting. And I told them about like the DAP workbook that the Broden made and like distributed to folks and communities for free. And it's basically a way to open up the field for people that want to get into art preparative work or museum field that didn't know anything about it, could use that workbook to get in. So I wanted to shift it to something like that, where it wasn't just one, like you have to attend a class or go through some sort of education process, but there's multiple tiers of getting information to become a public artist. And that's basically where we're at so far. So Donna and I and some other team members have contributed to essentially what's we were calling a curriculum, because the original intent of Public Art Core in 2020 was for an 8-week course that artists would be, you know, compensated for to learn how to become a public artist. And it was going to be called like from studio to public practice or something. And it was specifically targeted for BIPOC, people of color, queer folks that have been historically ignored by the public art world. It's largely dominated by men, or at least it was, but in the past, you know, 5 or 6 years, it's changed a lot. And the funding was going to be through NEA. But when, as you know, NEA changes and descriptions of or any granting for people of color or queer folks, LGBTQ plus AI folks was all removed. So we had to rethink the strategy and rethink our approach. So I sort of put a pause on it and now want to bring it back, but in different modules or ways of thinking, and not just one sort of 8-week course one time and then it's done, because the funding was for that. So we paused. I'm sorry, before we paused, when we had the curriculum going, we hosted two focus groups, one with artists and one with art administrators locally and throughout the nation, to see what they thought about the curriculum. And there was feedback and a lot of positive feedback as well. Then we paused. Then now, I set aside a little bit of money to do a 1-day workshop that will be sort of a mini version of this curriculum that Donna had created, open to the public, and it will pay anyone that's speaking. But basically, it'll be like intro pilot to what could be the Public Art Core, which is just a much larger initiative to make it easier for folks to try and who want to become public artists or get into the public art realm. And that's in the modules are things like insurance, getting an LLC to protect yourself and assets, and being sued, how to apply, what are the things to think about when you're presenting to a public panel, how fabrication works, how to source fabricators if you're a muralist and you want to get in three-dimensional work. It's a lot of that stuff that most folks learn on their own after getting into it and being in the world for a while. So we're just trying to compile all that information that we've had with from public artists, experienced public artists and administrators, and share those resources out free. And that's where I'm at now, is like what methods, what avenues of delivery can we use? Because they're all pretty good, and not one's going to be better than the other ones. But things like having as simple as having quick social media sort of posts of how to get in just to draw interest. One day workshops, the 8-week workshop thing, which, ends in a much more immersive completion, with a certificate from us, which, doesn't really mean anything, but it might look cool. That's basically where we're at, is we don't know yet, but we want to do something, and we have all the options in the world and no funding. I'll try to find out later. Questions?
Okay, well, that's really helpful. So that sounds to me like it specifically overlaps with our goal of creating video modules that would achieve the same purpose, helping artists who are struggling to break in or don't even know that the option is available to them understand the process and what skills they need to develop along the way. And, in our proposal, we were talking about working with the city to, just knowing like this is something that we all want to achieve, but knowing that like we don't want to add more work to Arts Foundation staff. And also hearing that, this has been an idea in the works for several years at this point and wanting to help it come to fruition. So I don't want to get too far away from the conversation about the verbiage for call to artists in this moment, but I do think, I would be interested in knowing, Wilwyn, if this is something that you feel like you could tap us for support, like using this committee so that we're achieving the same goal, but hopefully doing it, a bit more expeditiously.
Yes, 100%. A lot of the challenges with this is it's just been us, our foundation staff, and we keep getting more and more projects. So we roughly launch 8 to 10 RFQs a year, which is a lot, plus manage the ongoing ones. So having time to work on an educational component, which is separate from the day-to-day management, is a challenge, A. And B, trying to conduct this work just from an administrator's lens, I think isn't the best way, because I think we need those community voices to be involved. And that's all y'all. I think your participation and help to guide these things can, or just ideas of ways to do it, because one thing I want to do is after the spring workshop, see what works, see what doesn't. And then create these. We keep calling it a curriculum, but it's not really that. These modules that can be separated in different ways, like how to apply to an RFQ, how to present if you were in front of a public panel, what's the terminology used by city departments when you're looking at public art plans? Because when artists are working with the city and the design firms that are hired on for the larger construction projects, they start throwing out all this language and verbiage, and you're looking at maps and elevation planes, and you're like, I don't know what any of this means. So, introduction to how to look at a plot roll, could be helpful. So I think like developing those things and then finding multiple methods of delivery is the loose goal. And I could definitely use help doing that.
Okay, and have you talked to Kelly or anyone at the city so far about partnering on that?
Yeah, a little bit, a little bit. They have a lot of, other things they're more interested in, or not they're not interested, but prioritizing. But I feel like if I can, we can loop some of these concepts into those in that work, and that's and what they're thinking about is also a workplace development thing with the business services department from the city. So we could partner with them, possibly with that video work, because I think this business services department might have a team. The city manager's office, like communications department, is pretty booked, and I don't see them being able to, provide these sort of services. I think it would have to be, this is more likely something we'd have to outsource to a video company and find funding for. But the city is also interested in activating the El Pueblo. No, city, am I saying that right? Is El Pueblo on in Fifth Ward 5, Sixth Avenue in Invergor in Irvington?
Yeah, El Pueblo Center.
Yes. So I don't know if you're familiar with the space. It has a bunch of historic murals from David Teneo. It's been in disarray for a while. They're trying to bring it back as a cultural hub. There's minimal funding, but they have space. So it's funny that the photography group reached out, because what they're trying to do, and I don't think this is going to happen fast because it's the city, but they're trying to make an arts and culture hub out of that space. So I was thinking the public art core concepts could be activated through that, at that space, or through that space. And they were interested in things like that. So workforce development plan that'll bolster the mayor's Somos Uno initiative, and something to do with arts and culture, physical space at El Pueblo.
Okay. That's all helpful information. Sorry, the got distracted by the puppy. Sorry, had to let her out, just stepping back inside. Okay, so maybe we can. I want to be mindful of time, and I know folks need to jump around too. So maybe we can just put a pin in that. I don't think we're coming out of today with a fully fleshed out proposal like we had hoped, but hopefully we can by the next meeting. And I think I'm wondering if you think, given all of that information, Wilwyn, that we can amend that part of our proposal to basically be like collaborating with Arts Foundation staff to create and launch the public art core curriculum and modules and things like that, versus just working with the city to create some videos and how folks might feel about that. I'm happy for other folks to chime in as well.
Can I ask a question? Asking the city to do the video part, that was gonna be like one section of the public art plan. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's one of
Okay.
the proposals we were going to put forward.
Yeah. So I think that would work. I also think that the city would be more responsive if we're talking more broadly about things. Like how to activate a arts, public art, workplace development sort of initiative versus asking them to, provide video service. 'Cause I have a feeling they're just gonna just say no, we can't, don't have capacity for that. And which may not be true, probably won't be true, because one thing I've learned is like no department alone can speak or works for the entire city. So when we talk about these things, they're going to be like, we don't have capacity, so then we're just going to say no. So a lot of the work I've had to do is.
I think that would be the case if we were only reaching out to administrators as well, but I think we had spoken about also circulating this finished product of the proposal and the addition of, a definition of what we hope the purview of the PAC-DC committee is moving forward. Like, so all of these things that we're suggesting circulating with the folks who have also appointed us, and trying to activate, especially those of us that have been appointed by elected officials, trying to activate from that end as well, which in my experience, having worked within the city and then working with city departments outside of it, like, tends to get a little bit more traction going.
100%. Yeah, if communities' voices can influence or impact our electeds, then city departments typically do whatever the electeds want to do as long as it's feasible.
Right. So I think just kind of it's helpful for us to hear, in my opinion, and again, anybody else, feel free to chime in. I think it's helpful for us to hear that you would be open to tagging us in for support on this and like co-developing it together since we have these aligned goals. And then that gives us a little bit more wind under our wings to like put it forward and see what can we resource, like in if we're sharing this with the entire PAC-DC committee, maybe there's folks who feel energized about applying for grant opportunities to see if there's funding that we can source for this. Or maybe there's folks who are like, actually, I have a connection with a videographer that would do it for free because they believe in this, So just like figuring out how we can support getting this off the ground, I think would be huge.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, cool. Any other thoughts on that before we go back to this question of how we might structure verbiage into calls that encourages diversity of subject matter?
No, I like the idea of trying to work with the Arts Foundation on the educational initiatives and things like that.
Great. Thanks, Logan. Dusty, did you have something? You came off mute for a sec.
Yeah, I've got a chime to chime in. Because I wasn't here at the last meeting and I like an overview, I wanted to just review with you guys that we're talking about creating a public art plan, like you mentioned, that we are individually where we can going to workshop to get more buy-in than just what we're contacting, the people we're in contact with here at PAC-DC. And that plan basically has 4 points to it. And of course, I am holding my mic with my space bar, so give me one. Okay. Let me pull over here. I just want to make sure that we've got a 4-point plan here that we're looking at. One is we want to clarify what our role and authority is. Number two is the education and accessibility, which is what we've been talking about most recently with Wilwyn here. Then we have number three, which is the cultural and aesthetic guidance. That was Logan's point. And then number four is incorporating practice walls. And we're trying to bring cohesion to this whole thing. And right now we're just fleshing out 2 points today. And I guess I'm also looking at, okay, we've got a few more minutes. Are we today just going to focus on the 2 points that we've already discussed? Like, can we make that container? So that we're clear on what we're trying to accomplish by the end of this meeting.
Yeah, thank you, Dusty, for that. Again, for folks who joined a little late, I am not feeling too hot today, so my facilitation hat is a bit looser than it normally is, and I appreciate that direction, Dusty. I think that's a good call. And the only kind of clarification that I would add is that the public art plan, it exists. It's what Willen shared with us a few months ago, and it just basically includes all of the public works, like capital improvement projects, that are slated to come before PACD for the, next fiscal year. So what we're doing is, I believe hasn't been done before by PACDC, is trying to actually, as is kind of mandated in the administrative directives, come up with our own components of what to propose to be included in the public art plan. So that's like the 4 points is going to be added to the projects that are already presented and approved for the fiscal year. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you for the clarification there.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. So back to the discussion about the diversification. I think it would be good to have some clarification, Wilwyn and Sadie. Is it even possible for us to, think about maybe like a mandate that's included in the call to artists? Like, mandate is probably too intense of a word. But like, if we workshopped verbiage around this invitation to think creatively beyond what already exists, would we be able to include that in the call to artists and like the opportunities that come out across?
Before we do that, would I be able to share like the outline idea that I was talking about that I had earlier, and then that may also help inform some of the responses.
Heck yeah, Logan, coming in
Cool.
with your homework.
Yeah, exactly. Just it's very not fully fleshed out or anything, but the idea would be to create an emphasis on subject matter. This is like a step-by-step sort of thing, and how all of these get done or can be totally, fully fleshed out later on. But create an emphasis on diverse subject matter for murals and public art. The idea is that Tucson's beautiful desert landscape is a great source of inspiration, but not the only source. And then public art should reflect a wide variety of artists and should reflect a wide variety of subject matter. But diversification of artists does not necessarily mean that there's going to be a diversification of subject matter, as I think we see pretty often. And then so the goal would be diversification of subject matter should be a priority of the selection process for public arts panels. And so I think that's the thing that is the sticking point of like, is that something that we can do? Because I think that's when we were talking about like, oh, what happens in the selection process? Sometimes, I mean, we could take one step forward and it happens in the original the themes that the providers might create. Whether it's like a collaborative project or something, there might be themes that are like, we want this theme in there. So there can be like maybe a request in that, but I think it's also part of the selection process too. So that seems like something that seems very doable in my head, not knowing 100% about how all of it works on that end, but I think it could be like built into that. And then, like you were saying, Adrian, can it be a mandate or can it just be a request? That's a question to be answered. And then what would need to happen if we wanted to make it a mandate or if it can just be a request as is. And then once all that is kind of sorted, then it's like make a recommendation to the Arts Foundation and the city that's essentially in the plan, which we already have the idea for, then include the intent in artist roster grant proposal, call to artists, educational initiatives included in all of those other things as part of this, like that's how we're emphasizing it. And then whenever possible, give examples of like real life works that are different and diverse. And like that way, again, if we see the examples around town, we may remember, like me, remember the saguaros, more than the one that is a little different. And so specifically including examples. That's my outline of this idea. But again, there's some questions to be asked, and there's probably a lot that can be edited and talked about for sure.
Thank you. Let's open it up to anyone who can maybe answer some of those questions or any other thoughts based on what Logan's presenting. So I guess, Wilwyn and Sadie, from your perspective, not sure if you have any thoughts on those questions.
Sadie, do you want to? You said, looks like you're about to say something.
Yeah, I was just, I mean, I understand the sentiment about wanting to diversify the subject matter. I think, it would be a tough thing to tackle. Like, as Wilwyn stated, we do, like, depending on the project, sometimes they already have a theme in mind. Sometimes the city does community outreach, and that's the topic or subject matter that is voted on by, like, residents, thinking about the Tucson House or other projects. And so sometimes, like, the subject matter is built in, whether it be by the funder or by the community who lives with it. And so I think maybe adding language to, like, our panelist handbook may be helpful. And when appropriate, also the RFQs. But sometimes it's, like, out of our control, and it's really up to the community members what the subject will be, and it's usually decided with the project panel.
I probably should add a definition part too. I personally think of the theme as a different idea than the subject. The subject is the way the theme is kind of presented, but the theme itself. So, for example, the panel I was on was the planes and trains was the theme of it, but then the actual selection, even on the panel I was part of, was like desert animals, as you know, involved in the planes and trains, and that's how it got, like, approved. But I think in that process, if there was some question that the panelist was asked of, like, how novel is this approach? How is it something that we've seen before? Like, if there's some wording or language around that, I think that then the subject matter could be super diverse, even if the theme is prescribed.
Yeah, I like that idea. And I wonder if it would be helpful too. I would have to, like, really comb through my emails to find the panelist handbook. I haven't been on a panel since, I mean, I'm on the Grant Road one, but that's been stalled out for, like, quite some time. So I would love a refresher of, like, what panelists are being advised to consider as they join. And that might be helpful for us too, Logan, to workshop some of the language into it. And I wonder, and so totally understand the limitations of some opportunities. But I do think, even with those opportunities, that the community members are, you know, residents in the area are saying what they would like, or the themes already built in. I don't think it would preclude us from having language around what Logan was just suggesting, like, around what have we seen before? How could this be different, et cetera? And I wonder if that's, if incorporating that language into calls to artists is something that the Arts Foundation would be willing to consider, or something that we could suggest building in.
I would say, I don't know if Owen's off mute, but, like, to that, like, RFQs, we don't ask people or the applicants to have, like, don't show us work that is related to the desert, for instance. So they just send us their best work. And so I would hate to add language that would maybe influence the artist to kind of create something differently, specifically because we ask them that there's a saturation. I don't know. Wilwyn, what do you think?
I think it'd have to be a case by case. So making, like, one specific statement to put on everything is not really plausible, because we can't do that for any of our projects that we work on, except for language that's required by the ADs. But what we do for every project is consider the parameters and the environment and the location and add some of that stuff. So, especially with parks, because a lot of the parks are central to neighborhoods as a place for gathering. So, stating that, like artwork themes and such. And usually we do this in the pa during the panel process or to the panel, not in the RFQs, to consider themes that relate to this specific community or the people that are going to be engaging with the artwork the most. So like the road projects where lots of people interact with it, those are the ones that usually get the deserts, and everything in Ward 4 usually gets horses for some reason. So there might be some opportunities to do that in the RFQ, but largely that process of selecting the artist and or them applying, the restrictions are basically, can you do this level of work, provide images of work that demonstrate that you can, and then from there it goes to the panel. So what I'm hearing that we might be able to do is maybe during the panel orientation add some of this language, or possibly even like we partner with this committee, the PACDC, and as they look at a lot of projects in this region, believe, and then add your statement, so that the messages you're trying to spread are directed at the panel that's selecting the artist and also guiding the themes. Because what they do, that once they select the artist, we go through all the, contract stuff. And that first design meeting is the panel telling to the artist, and the artist is sitting and listening back, their thoughts about the space, the location, themes, all these things for the artist to absorb, and come up with three different unique designs to address all of the themes that they talked about. So I think the moment to do this, where we're saying, hey, maybe look at all the artwork that's up there and not always do desert, could be at that moment, that panel orientation moment. And then using language a little bit, broader of like, consider what's already in the neighborhood, consider what's already in the city, what kind of artworks are overly expressed throughout the city, and that might help when they go in to tell the artists what they think about to not do saguaros, no more saguaros.
Yeah, I think that's some helpful context, and I want to go back into my outline and put a little bit more detail in there. I do think there's a way to kind of achieve this goal without even using the word desert at all, and like specific, like just really just talking about putting more of an emphasis on like there can be lots of different ways of tackling this, trying to add like an emphasis on the creativity elements and things like that too. And so that's gonna be kind of how I'll frame it, especially after hearing some of that feedback.
Yeah, I think this is really great context as well. And what I'm hearing is that we absolutely can incorporate this suggestion into the panelist, like that first meeting in the panelist experience. And so, Logan, maybe what we can do is, yeah, if you want to continue wordsmithing, what we can do is add this overall goal of diversification of subject matter, or even just like preventing regional oversaturation of certain things to the goal of the public art plan. And then internally, we can source photos of, like what you were suggesting, photos of other examples of how things can be interpreted differently or presented differently. And maybe what we land on is like a slide that we're providing the Arts Foundation staff with our recommended language and some examples of different ways to interpret a single theme as inspiration for, like, that can be worked into the panelist meeting.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I think it would work the best is to use this education subcommittee to work with Arts Foundation staff to update the panel orientation to address these things that we're talking about. And I think also providing those images from, or for this committee to provide those images would also be helpful. So it's not just like me stating the team using the same images that we find. I think having more people providing sample content can provide you know, more diverse options. And then, you know, when we work with the panel orientation together or handbook together, or that segment of it, at least, you know, we can decide which ones work best or might be the most effective.
Great. Okay, so we're at 2:05. I want to get people off the call so they can go on to the other things in their work days. I would love to, I know we still have to approve some minutes. We got to do a couple other things. Just hear if there's any thoughts from anyone about what we've discussed and see if folks feel prepared, poised to dig into the other two elements at the next meeting and hopefully walk away from that meeting with like a fully fleshed out proposal, which means folks who signed up for elements, myself included, bringing them fully fleshed out to the next meeting and adding whatever other flavor might be missing, maybe even circulating them beforehand. But would love to hear any thoughts that folks have from these discussions.
So I had one just based off of the data that Wilwyn shared with us, because I know we were discussing about the repetition of artists that are being showcased through Tucson. And while they might not be getting picked specifically through public art projects, maybe we can put a stipulation of some sort of, because I know when I apply for things, you know, there are stipulations. The work needs to be from this specific time. You can't be in school. You can't do this, that, and the other thing. So maybe there could be a stipulation that if you've done a project of similar size or visibility or something, that this is not the project for somebody who's getting projects. I don't know. I just was just having thoughts about how we can continue to get more opportunities to more people, because the people who are being chosen for these private projects are obviously doing well, and I just want lots of people to do well. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think it does make sense. It's something I think we talked about a bit at the last meeting as well. And I think what gets tricky, especially seeing the distribution that is in the public art realm, is, you know, how do we approach that without taking away? There's only so many options available to artists for making money, right? And like public art is one of them. So how was it put at the last meeting? I think it was like, can we focus more on getting the opportunities out to a greater number of people? And can we elevate and increase the number of applicants that feel prepared to apply for these opportunities versus restricting the opportunities that are available to artists? And so I think that's where the focus on the modules, the educational modules, and us as a committee getting creative around how to actively promote the opportunities to a wider audience came from, versus like capping.
One thing to note, so the anything restricting anybody is a policy level thing, so that's the city of Tucson, we can't control that. But the best way to do that is to talk to your electeds and then for them to convince the city manager's office to change the ADs, which is something we've been trying to do for since we started. It's pretty hard. But with the right people in place, it can be done. But alternatively, what also we've been doing is trying to find ways to move in the sort of gray space between things we definitely can do and definitely things we can't do. And one, which we haven't been able to do yet, one is when a budget is big enough, see if we can, at this point, at that point, mandate a mentor-mentee, opportunity. So if you're applying for this project, you have to work with an emerging artist, and then either an emerging artist also applies with a, it's something we've done a little bit with our grant work. And I'd like to implement something. It just hasn't been done yet. And we'll have to figure it out as we do it and then hope it works versus trying to change the policy, which we've haven't had a good job of doing. It's really hard to do.
Could we put, or could it maybe, what if like in the application process, it could be a question, of like the applicants answering when was the last time they did a certain type of project, in which case, if people are scoring, I don't know how it's getting chosen, but if they're scoring or whatever, that can go into consideration that way. So if there's a question that says, have you done a mural or whatever, a project of this size in the last 5 years, people can answer, or 2 years or whatever. And then that's not restrictive, but that does give the panels or whoever's looking at it more information on helping them pick other things or pick other people, I guess.
Yeah, we do that actually. Sadie, do you know if we do that for every project, or has that just been a recent thing?
Yeah, we have started incorporating that question, but it wasn't for every project, and so I think it was something we were testing out, but I
Yeah,
don't
on
think
the
it
larger project, larger
yes.
budget ones, I think.
Correct, yeah, but it's not something that's in each RFQ, but we've talked as a public art team to incorporate that on every call, just so the panel is aware of how saturated that artist is.
That's great, and I think also excellent idea. Excellent idea. So we have just 3 minutes left, and we need to get on to other items. Were there any other thoughts that folks had? Any other reactions that anyone wants to quickly share? No? Okay, great. Sadie, we can move on from this subject then.
Okay. Moving on to item four, review and vote on the June 26th, 2026 Education Subcommittee meeting minutes. Are there any revisions that need to be made?
None that I noted.
Well, with that, I'll entertain a motion.
Does anybody want to? I'll move to approve the minutes.
I'll second that.
Motion by
Dusty.
Adrian Ackerman to approve. Second by Dusty Reyes. Any other discussion? Hearing none, I'll go ahead and do a roll call vote. Adrian Ackerman.
Approve.
Leanne Hernandez. Brandon Varela. Brandon?
Yes.
Thank you. Adia Jamil?
Approve.
Dusty Reyes?
Approve.
Audrey Wehner? Logan Green?
Approve.
Thank you, and we have unanimous approval. Okay, moving on. Item five, request for future agenda items. Are there any requests for the next Education Subcommittee meeting?
I think just a continuation of this discussion and review of, and maybe adding some verbiage around like a review of the components that we're each bringing to the meeting. And one thing I forgot to ask was, if anybody else feels inspired to sign up for fleshing out any of the other proposals. So sorry, a little off topic, Sadie. Put that question out there. Anyone else want to help support Logan and myself in this effort?
Yeah, I believe in the past I had signed up to flesh out a little bit more on the practice walls, so I'm gonna give that a go in the next month, and I will share anything that I come up with prior to the meeting, as long as that's allowed. What do I have to do for that? Send that to you, Sadie, for distribution?
Yes.
Got it.
Awesome. Thanks, Dusty. And Adia, I forgot to mention, I think adding the suggestion that you put out there into our kind of general panelist suggestion is something that can happen too. So great. Any other additional topics for future agendas?
None from me.
All right.
None.
Thanks, friends. Hopefully in September we'll have a fleshed out public art plan proposal.
Fingers crossed.
Well, hearing nothing else, we'll move on to item six, adjournment. Meeting is adjourned at 2:16 p.m. Thank you,
Thanks,
everyone.
Katie. Sorry
Thanks,
for the minute
everyone.
late, Dusty.
Thanks for that quick wrap up. I appreciate it. See you around,
Yeah.
guys.
Bye.
Thanks.